So with that, just a brief note on the transition of irrigation on the Texas High Plains. There has been lots of discussion today, lots of great symposiums on irrigation management. As I mentioned, moved from a research position with the USDA over to an extension position with Texas A&M AgriLife, I have really been surprised at the attitudes and the perspectives of our regional producers. And of course, as you all know, and as has been addressed in many of the other presentations throughout the week, there is not only a transition in irrigated agriculture in Texas or in the Midwest, but also globally. And as you all know, we have 7 billion people that we feed today. However, how will we meet that food demand by 2050? And so management strategies are essential for improved crop water use efficiency and to meet the increasing food and fiber demands. And it's really important to note that this will not be solved solely with biotechnology. We need those management systems and both technology and management practices to meet that demand. On the Texas High Plains, we are faced with the declining Ogallala Aquifer. Unlike our neighbors to the north who have coarser textured soils who often do see recharge, there is very nominal recharge of the aquifer in our region. Generally, we do see a large diversity in well water capacities, less than 200 gallons per minute on the southern High Plains to up to 3,000 in the northern panhandle. And so with these diverse well capacities, the mentality of our regional producers are survival mode, people really thinking out of the box, not only from a conservation mindset, but also from a business mindset. And then to business as usual, especially with the producers with those larger well capacities. When we look at the diversity just in the Texas High Plains, it is really important to note the differences between the northern High Plains and the southern High Plains. And it really deals with the restrictions put in place by our regional water districts. I know that there are the restrictions throughout Kansas, Nebraska, and that have been put in place for many years. And Texas is just now embarking on this, and really the producers are feeling those pains. On the northern High Plains, those are the stable well capacities that I mentioned. Producers still have very good water, and with that, they still have the mentality, this is my water, I will manage my water, and I will make those production decisions myself. And in some areas, there is a little bit of hesitation or reluctance from those producers to adopt those groundwater restrictions. Irrigation is limited in this region to 18 inches per contiguous acre, and of course, contiguous acre meaning the acreage that is abutting. On the northern High Plains, there is not a pipeline provision. Unlike the southern High Plains that is managed by the High Plains Underground Water District out of Lubbock, Texas, where contiguous acreage has been changed to define not only acreage that is abutting, but also acreage that is connected by a pipeline. And so that really changes the face of irrigated acreage in this region, because that drastically, as you all know, expands the producer's capabilities in their well capacities. On the southern High Plains, there are also double cropping restrictions. However, on the northern High Plains, there are not. And so with that, you do see many, many producers who practice double cropping. And of course, this is just a satellite image, which from Google Earth, you can see this across the United States, but you can really see the changing practice of irrigation just in this image alone, and the changing in the saturated thickness and the well capacities across the region. Looking at the upper left corner of this image, we still see producers who are fully irrigating half mile center pivots down to the bottom right, and you see the images where producers are not able to even irrigate half of that. They are looking at a quarter of their acreage and how they are going to manage that. So it's definitely a very diverse region and lots of considerations that are being made. And so with that, irrigation strategies and technologies. Producers are looking at split irrigation or split acreage management. How are they going to do that? Are they going to windshield wipe? Are they going to pie off that? And I've even spoken with lots of producers who have who do not like the management associated with the windshield wiping. They would rather just manage simply a span. Turn off the nozzles and they can keep that sprinkler going, and it's an easier management practice. But nevertheless, it is acreage management. And how are they going to match their acreage to the well capacities that they have? Of course, deficit irrigation. And then with that, there's the irrigation at the critical growth stages. And specifically, we're talking about sorghum and cotton. Corn is out of that picture. And so that's something that's definitely being adopted widely across the region, the irrigation at the critical growth stages. And then there is also a reluctance, even though producers know there's inefficiency in preseason irrigation, there's a reluctance to adopt that or to skip preseason irrigation because they know they must fill that profile. And then, of course, technology that we will go into with our next producers. The regional livestock production drives the regional crop production. And specifically, we talk about cattle. The corn that's grown on the Texas Panhandle, it generally stays in the Texas Panhandle, and it goes into our regional livestock industry. But also, there's an emerging pork production industry, and that many of those facilities are solely on a sorghum-based ration. And then we have mega dairies that are relocating to the Texas Panhandle. And when I say mega dairies, I'm talking about dairies with greater than 1,000 head capacity. So they are becoming a new consumer in not only water, but also the regional feed that is being produced. And they're a very heavy consumer of the silages and the forages in the region. And so with cropping choices, we have reduced irrigated acreage. And then with that, producers are looking to high-value crops. How are they going to manage those reduced acreage? Are they going to look at vegetables? And I've been very surprised, and my abstract, I kind of toyed with this, not necessarily vegetables going widespread, but it's a niche. And I'd say of the producers I speak to, many are saying we cannot irrigate 120 acres fully, but we might be able to concentrate water on 20 to 30 acres, and the rest of that we may take to a grazing system. So what is the maximum profit we can go with, that we can get out of that limited acreage? And of course, the drought-tolerant crops on the remaining acreage, and specifically cotton and sorghum. And then grazing systems, as I said, and of course the markets. That's the big question. Where are you going with this? The markets, that drives everything. So it all boils down to the economics. There is conservation. Producers understand that wasting resources wastes money, and so they are going to be conservation-minded. But at the end of the day, it boils down to the economics and where is their greatest return. And I think that, you know, many producers have learned from the history of the Panhandle, the depleted water resources, and see that. But again, it is economically driven, and many producers do keep it business as usual, and so they are still striving for those bin buster yields. And it's just a very interesting time. So with that, thank you. I know I'm speeding this up because we need to move to our next speaker very quickly.